Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Wave Podcast. We are here to talk to you guys about the third film in the X trilogy. It is called Maxine. It takes place in the 80s, and it's one that we've been anticipating for quite a while. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined this time by Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
As well as Megan Krantz.
Hey, everybody.
So this is a movie that we were all talking about, really excited to talk about it. It's the third one in a trilogy. I know, Megan, you definitely wanted to talk about the films that came before it. And Ty West has worked with Mia Goth now for this slasher trilogy. And I think the audience is probably aware of this. I'm not a huge horror fan. But these films kind of took me by surprise when I saw them the first time. I like X. I don't love X as much as a lot of people do. I adore Pearl. Like, I've seen that movie like four times, and I love that movie so much. And so I was really anticipating what they were going to do with Maxine. So kind of just want to go around first and see, not even your thoughts on this film in particular, but what did you think about the trilogy of films that Ty West has done with Mia Goth in the lead role playing multiple characters? Vinny, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so starting with X, and this is going to be a big philosophy that I'm going to keep referring back to throughout the rest of the review, but I've always viewed X, Pearl, and now Maxine as odes, as love letters to this very niche cinema of the 70s and 80s, and with Pearl to the studio films of the 50s. We have in X a very classic take on the grindhouse slasher film. And I'm a big horror. I love horror. And I love the idea of grindhouse cinema and B-movie cinema, and how it's really just these really low budget productions and people making film for the sake of film, basked in these metaphors of violence and goofiness. And with X, I saw a lot of that. I saw this ode to the classic slasher film and the classic grindhouse film. I enjoyed X. I was a little disappointed just because I think it was a little too basic, I guess you could say, even for such a, what I'm going to keep referring to, like I said, as a love letter. Pearl, I love Pearl. Pearl is such a deep psychological study, and Mia Goth does such an incredible job in Pearl. I also love the mimicking of styles and the tributes to that studio 1950s, like grandiose, like super oversaturated, like mimicking Technicolor type look. And then with Maxine, and this is gonna be a spicy conversation because I really enjoyed Maxine. I feel like I might be in a minority here because I'm hearing a lot of, you know, crazy talk. But for me, right, you have a love letter to 70s grindhouse slasher. You have a love letter to, you know, the 1950s grandiose Technicolor films mixed with a horror psychological study. And in this, it's a love letter to the 80s and the 80s B-movie cinema of the goofy, over-the-top, like, craziness mixed with Mia Goth's Maxine character. So yeah, that was my thoughts.
Okay. Megan?
So I agree with a lot of the things that you guys just said. I'm also not a horror fan like Darian. I really was surprised at how I felt after watching all of these three movies. I actually did a speed run of the entire trilogy this past week, and I had so much fun. Like, I actually had a blast. I think X is my favorite. I actually loved X. And I'm also very surprised. And yeah, totally. Like, I love how Ty West has just decided, like, every single movie was a different, like, totally different atmosphere. We have, like, 1918, 79, and then 85. And 85 is, like, I love that, like, that whole decade, the 80s. That's my, like, if I could choose to, like, be placed in a different era, like, that totally put me there. Like, that's why I was so obsessed with the atmosphere and everything in Maxine. Had a ton of fun with that film. But I think if I were to rank them, like right now, like I would say like X for me was still totally at the top. I think I just loved how there was so many different characters and we had such a fun cast and they were all so different and likable. And it was also funny. So I enjoyed the comedy of X as well. And then Pearl was totally original too. And I think that we had a lot of like totally just Mia Goth, like, in her prime. Like, that was like such a great performance by her. And I think we had less of her, of course, in X because we had, like, this ensemble cast. And then Maxine is all about Mia Goth again. So I think that was kind of an interesting way to just kind of, like, come full circle with it. But yeah, I had so much fun with all of these films. And I'm really excited to talk about it. I think that Maxine fell short in some places, and that'll be something definitely to talk about. But I thought X was really strong just because of the fact that, like, the whole time I was squirming, I was reacting, like, the entire way through, which, like, many of, like, you know, those classic grindhouse films, like, that's just what they're about. It's just totally just to be like, oh my God, like, you know, and surprisingly, I just really enjoyed that. So, and then Pearl, the atmosphere as well, was just very charming. Even with, like, how, like, crazy it got and how gory it got. But I actually, I had a lot of fun with it. So, Darian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I want to jump into Maxine now, the one where we're here to talk about, because I feel similar to what you guys were saying with the trilogy. As I said in the beginning, Pearl definitely my favorite. And there was something you brought up when you were just talking, Megan, that I think is definitely the first place I want to go to when it comes to this film. Maxine is the character that we get introduced to in X. And as you said, it's more of an ensemble piece and not so much of it is revolving around Mia Goth's character in that. And Pearl is a character study, like, through and through, mixed in with what it actually deals with in terms of the gore and still getting, like, that psychological thing. Like, she's obviously a broken woman and all that stuff, right? And there are commentaries throughout that have to do with Pearl and that character that Mia Goth embodies in 1918 compared to what Maxine represents. But what you brought up, Megan, I thought was interesting because you're like, again, this is like Mia Goth's movie. This is about Maxine. For two of the films to be named after titular characters, though I loved Mia Goth's performance in this film, for a movie named Maxine, it didn't feel like it was all about Maxine. And that was something that I had a gripe with because I wanted them to go deeper with her. And one of the, the opening scene in this movie really set a tone for what I was hoping the movie was going to be. And I didn't get that with the rest of the movie. And we'll dive into the specifics of that. But I thought it was interesting that you brought that up. And again, that's definitely what the movie is pushed as. And I don't think that necessarily, it's not that the story isn't revolving around Maxine, but so much of it having to do with Maxine as a character, I think is where it lacks, especially in terms of its writing. I think that there's so much that you could bite off with Maxine's character in particular. And by the way, for the people that are watching, this is a spoiler review, so we will talk spoilers about the film. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, go back or go see the film for yourself and then come back and tune into this review because we're going to jump into spoilers right about now. Even in terms of like her first interaction with Kevin Bacon's character, when they're in that they're in the hotel and they're having the meal, and she opens up the envelope to see what happens, the events of X. The fact that we get no more of that and that side of it was upsetting to me because I wanted to see what was going to happen with Maxine's real reaction to that. But instead, we're kind of having this allure of this killer that was of the time in the 80s. And there's a lot of time spent on that. And it makes sense in terms of what Ty West has gone for with these previous movies with the gore. And I think the sequences of the killings are really well done. But that's not what I wanted out of this movie. I still wanted that, but I wanted more from Maxine, the character. And I didn't feel like I got that necessarily. What did you think, Vinny? Because that was my criticism of it. And there's things I do like about it too. And I want to credit that I think Mia Goth is good in the film, but what did you think about that, what I just said in particular?
No, that's valid. That is valid. I think that is the biggest falling through with this film, in my opinion, because we have moments of Maxine and we have moments of exploration into her character, but through and through, it's a lot of gas break, because we see her being reactionary through a lot of the film when it's established that she is the opposite of reactionary. Even Mia Goth herself on interviews has said that Maxine is a go-getter, you know, but to have her kind of being kind of playing that backseat type of role for a lot of these scenes is out of character in a sense. However, it didn't stop my enjoyment from the film, because there are scenes, and there are a lot of scenes. Are we going into spoilers? Or
we can jump into spoilers if you're ready for that.
Okay. Yeah, there's some scenes that really just got my blood pumping, and I loved it. I love the scene when she's just punching the shit out of Kevin Bacon's character with the keys in her hands. Another scene that honestly like bumped up the, and this is what I was alluding to off camera. There was a scene in this that I was laughing so hard. I thought it was hilarious, and in a good way, in a way that I was like, yes, this is B movie cinema. This is what I want to see. I just want to see over the top violence and goofy, crazy violence. And that's the scene when she stomps at the dude's balls.
I figured that's what you were alluding to. I had a feeling.
That scene, I started dying laughing in my theater. I swear to God, I think the person next to me thought I was psychotic. But those scenes of Maxine, especially even her conclusion of a character, also another great scene of violence, which sounds crazy to say. But we're talking about horror here, and we're talking about good kills, right? When she kills her father in the end and just shotguns him. I thought that was a great just taking control back. And I think that the reason, now that I'm talking about it, the reason why she's so reactionary through some moments of the film, and I think this whole film is really a study of her losing control and her trying to gain it back, you know, because she wants control and she wants to be a go-getter, but now there's these mysterious forces like Kevin Bacon's character and the quote-unquote Night Stalker, even though we find out later in the film that the Night Stalker wasn't, we're kind of alluded to believe it's this person chasing Maxine, but it's not. But this, I think that's her arc in this film, is the back and forth between being this force to be reckoned with and not knowing, you know, and then stepping back and being like, okay, maybe I should stop being a force to be reckoned with. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Megan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really great argument, because this whole film, I had a very similar feeling. Like, the fact that, like you were saying, that she was very reactionary, like she didn't make a whole ton of her own decisions throughout this film, but I would say that up until like the very end, the first real decision that she decides to make is to, like, she opens up the letter with the address on it at the very end, right? And then she takes her gun, and then she's like, okay, I'm actually gonna go and, like, I'm gonna pursue this. I'm gonna, like, stop whatever this, like, force is that's basically been screwing with me this entire film. And since she's a little girl, like, she was preaching the entire idea of, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Like, I'm gonna be a star. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. So we're kind of like, throughout the film, I did, like, for, like, the scene we were just talking about when she was, like, about to get killed and she totally just, you know, stomped on this guy's balls. And then, like that was totally, like, okay, so she's a badass. Like, you know, like, don't mess with her, right? So, like, we get introduced to her in this way. Like, all right, you know, like, the way, like, for example, Pearl would just kill everybody because of just, like, that's who she was. Like, it was just, like... Maxine did it because she was willing to. Like, if you really get in my way, like, I'm going to stop you. But I think that because of her past and all of the trauma that she was dealing with from ex, like, Maxine now, and obviously not talking about Pearl, but the fact that now she's, you know, we have all this, like, everything going on in her head, like, she's dealing with that. She's dealing with Kevin Bacon's character, who's totally been, like, following her around, and her past is really catching up with her. And as she's trying to run from her past, she's also being chased by whatever this other force is, this Night Stalker, or this, or so we think as of right now in the film. I think that all that pressure eventually, you know, turned her, like, okay, I'm actually going to do something about this. And this entire idea of also, like, divine intervention, that's another idea that we are, like, always we're introduced to in X, and then it comes back a lot in Maxine. Like, this whole idea that, yeah, you can take action to make a difference and find your way, but also there's certain forces that you know, come in, and her dad ends up being that divine intervention that she needed to actually become the star that she always wanted to be in a very twisted way. But I think that that was very interesting. And I think that it does, you know, I think it actually, the film did accomplish what it wanted to. I think that it lacks in some areas, definitely with maybe the ending almost felt a little rushed to me, kind of, or like the reveal didn't feel as grand as I was hoping it would. I can't exactly put my finger on why. I think there's just a lot of things we can get into about where like it kind of fell flat. But overall, I think that we did the film did accomplish what it wanted to.
Yeah.
So
I think in terms of what you guys were talking about with the prerogative of Maxine's decision making, especially towards the end of the film, I think makes sense.
Yeah.
Echoing what Megan just said, I felt that the ending, that third act especially, was like super anticlimactic for me personally. And I did feel that all the stuff with her father became a little cartoony. And it got to a point where I was like, this isn't exactly what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But I can understand, again, the divine intervention thing, I think, is a good point to make. I also think that so much of that doesn't hit as well because I think a lot of what this film, especially the middle of the film, is style over substance. I think there is a lot of, I wanted the, like, in terms of the technical aspects, I think the lighting in this movie is really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And there's some really good cinematography as well. But in terms of what happens in the middle, like, I don't even, it's not a pacing issue with the film because the film keeps you entertained, but there's a lot of nothing that happens, especially in correlation to who Maxine is and what that character needs to go through. Like, you get some really good, like, scenery chewing with her character and Kevin Bacon, who I think is probably the biggest standout in this film, at least for me. And I love that he came from the origin of being in a B movie first. Like, I think he was in Friday the 13th, was like one of the first things he ever did.
Yeah.
And Giancarlo Esposito also, like, every time he's on screen, I mean, he's great in literally everything he does, but this is the first time we get away from, he's been doing a lot of those sort of suit and tie kind of guys and a lot of like, whether it's The Boys or it's The Gentleman or whatever he's doing. And this, we get like, he's like a smooth talking guy and I'll figure it out for you, Maxine. Don't even worry about it.
And he has the wig.
He's so good in this movie. And I think those scenes are standout scenes, but there are other things in that middle ground that don't even build up to what seems like an underwhelming third act for me, which is the biggest con for me. I think that it starts such a high in that first scene. Like, I think that that scene is so indicative of who Maxine represents, that character. And at the end, I do think that, like, what she eventually does to her father is her taking control. And I think the shot is great of us getting that real blood and gore that is we're known for with Ty West's X trilogy. But overall, there's not enough built in that second act that when we get to the third act that makes you like suspend disbelief so much. Or again, it might not even be that because we know what the trilogy is. It's just that it comes off a little cartoony and it's a little overacted and it's just not great in my opinion. Yeah. I think that the third act, it kind of falls apart a little bit. And like you were saying, Megan, it leaves more to be desired. And then I had seen an interview that Mia Goth was leaving the door open to a potential fourth film. Ty West had been saying that it was a trilogy. It was meant to be a trilogy. I don't know if they go on a fourth. I mean, you could always continue on. Like, we're they've already jumped from the 70s to 1918 to the 80s now. So who knows where they go with it. But that's how I felt in terms of the structure of the film. And that's where I think, like, X, though it is simple, it knows what it is. And it doesn't try to trick you in terms of knowing that it's a simple slasher film. Pearl is a character study. Maxine, I think, wanted to do a lot of different things in it. And what it does well is the style. Like, the style points, like you talked about, which makes sense why you like the movie so much, is that it is truly a real tribute to Scream Queens and to Hollywood in the 80s and video stores and that. Like, synth, neon, grunge. Yeah. Like, that's what it is. So in terms of the environment, like, Ty West deserves a lot of style points. To me, that doesn't add up to necessarily a good movie. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just not as good as the previous two installments for me, personally. I don't know if you
have
anything
to add. I have a lot to say. Yeah. Okay. So, one, first off, director of photography, Elliot Rocket.
Okay.
Because you mentioned how beautiful the film looks. Shout out him. I love that scene. I love how they lit that entire nightclub scene with the strobe light. And also, shout out the makeup. I love Maxine's makeup. Oh,
that's a great scene. That's a fantastic scene.
It's like sharp and then it feathers out here.
Yeah, so just wanted to shout that out. But kind of, actually, hold on. I'm going to get to the third act. Another thing I want to point out, too, is if we're talking about, like, cartooniness, and this will go into the third act conversation, but I really, like, I feel like they were establishing the cartooniness and the goofiness of it all since the beginning, right? Because you have Giancarlo Esposito's character in the wig, smoking a cigar as, like, he's pressing Kevin Bacon's character to death. He's like, don't worry about it, right? I love that. I love that so much. And why I think criticisms for the third act are 100% valid. I can understand that. And for me too, I do have to criticize it for the fact of, like, I called it since the beginning that it was her father, because they make a big point of it, of him being on the TV in the first film, and then we open with him in the in this film. So I already knew it was his her father. I was like, I don't know, right? But more cartooniness. I know that's a criticism for you, but we have moments of cartooniness throughout the film, and with this crazy, goofy third act that's just wild, I think it's justified, because I started this episode with saying how each film feels like a love letter to a different era of B-movie cinema. And with this, in the 80s, what did you have? You have the John Carpenter films. You have They Live. You have Escape from New York. You have Big Trouble in Little China. All these, like, goofy, crazy, and John Carpenter is also a horror legend. So that's what I saw from the film. I saw from the film and that third act, like, ripped from the DNA of those films I just mentioned, where it's like, wow, this is just so, like, crazy and goofy. I just can't help but love it.
Yeah,
like, it is cartoonish. Like, he's, but I think they know that. Like, they, it's not taking itself too seriously. And they know that. And that's what I think it just hits the mark just enough for me, where it's like, okay, I'm pleased with that.
I totally understand what you're saying in terms of, especially because it knows what it is in terms of the B movie thing. I think that just so much of, I think it's too overbearing trying to be aware of what it's trying to be sometimes. Remember how we talked about in The Boys, how, like, sometimes it's a little bit too much, like, where they're, this season in particular, where they're, like, trying to make a parody of The Boys. And though that is probably what Ty West was going for, I thought there was more of a story in the previous two films, or he knew exactly where his end goal was. And with this film, again, maybe he knew where he was going to end up, but I just felt like it didn't give us the satisfying conclusion we wanted for Maxine, the person and the character. And so I give him points for trying to embody and emulate to like the 10th degree of what he was trying to go for in terms of those tributes or those influences that he had, and maybe in his career or so much that influenced this trilogy. To me, it wasn't as strong of a film in terms of the writing and the story structure that the word you used was justified. Like, to me, it wasn't justified enough. But I still think he did a good job of embodying what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It just didn't work as much for me. But Megan, what did you think?
I think the whole idea that we briefly brought up earlier with how Maxine was trying to do a lot of different things, that's the reason why it kind of feels like we didn't, like, Maxine didn't get the ending that we wanted for her, really. But yeah, like, the cartoonishness of, like, all of everything that happens in that third act, like, it's fun. I the whole time was thinking that, like, all of these things, like, okay, I'm a little bit unsatisfied in terms of, like, what happens with her character in a way. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, wow, like, just sitting back, just enjoying it. Cause, which I think is really, like, the whole point. Like, I walked out of this movie being like, okay, you know what? Like, that was just fun. I don't even feel like, you know, it's like, it's not that deep. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, just, it's a slasher film, and it's based in the 80s. Like, it's all just so fun. I have to, like, mention Breaking Bad for a second, because I just think that, like, with Giancarlo Esposito, like he's just like, he's like, yeah, like with the cigarette and like the junkyard and everything. Like I was just like, this is so Gustavo Fring right now. Like everything happening, like that was great. But anyway, that was just a little sidebar. I think what I didn't like the most about that final scene, well, I know that I didn't like it, but just that it kind of made me question, was the what happened to the detectives. Like I think that those deaths were like so, like they were like slightly almost like unnecessary almost, and we didn't like really, I feel like with slasher films everyone kind of just gets killed and you don't necessarily like care about them, or you know, so like I almost think we didn't really have like a big relationship or like a real relationship with like the detective characters. But just like the way that like the female detective, I forget her name, but she gets like stabbed through the eye and like comes in and is like, oh my god, and then she like tumbles down the hill. Like I was just like, what?
Also the line that they choose where she's like, I told you I'd get him, and then she just falls down the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is funny. Like, I mean, Vinny's laughing.
Yeah.
And I get it. I do. I right. completely understand. Like, it's funny. Yeah. I actually thought that was funny. Like the Bobby Cannavale shit for me did not work. And I like Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah.
But beating you over the head with, I wanted to be an actor. Yeah, how you doing? I was like, all right, bro, like, we get it. Like, you've done this now 3 times. Like, it was funny the first time. I was like, oh, that was like, I get it. Like, he's that kind of, you know, like, wannabe gangster sort of dude. And then it's like, like his death scene to me, I was just like, oh, that wasn't funny to me. It just didn't work for me. But no, I would agree with you, Megan, in terms of, like, I understand what you're saying, Vinny, and the movie has moments of hilarity and moments where that cartooniness really works. I think Kevin Bacon hits the sweet spot perfectly, like so much with like,
yeah, he was the standout.
I think he was the best performance in the film, which again, this is no offense, and I think Mia Goth is good in the movie. A movie called Maxine should be the standout character. She should be the one that you're coming back. And I'm like, in the reviews I've seen and some of the people I've also seen comment on it, and this is the one that I feel like it's definitely the most middling of the 3 films, I think, in the trilogy. That's been the common thread, is that everyone's like, well, Kevin Bacon's a standout. And that's not, I mean, he's a fantastic actor. He's a more polished actor than Mia Goth. He's a more experienced actor. Mm-hmm. But Mia Goth does such a good job bearing the weight of what Pearl is, which is maybe arguably a harder performance. And I think the problem is that Maxine just doesn't get enough to do in this film, and you don't get that satisfying conclusion like Megan and I have sort of been alluding to in terms of, like, especially with so much of that middle part. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about too. Like, did you feel, in terms of like that middle section of the film, like, did you feel like anything was happening? Or did you feel like, I mean, again, like Megan said, you're along for the ride. It's not an entertaining movie. I didn't have a terrible time sitting there. And it's something that, like, I was entertained by in moments, for sure. But how did you feel about, like, especially the pacing with that middle part, taking us from where we let off the film at such a strong point, in my opinion, and then we end in that crazy shootout and all the crazy stuff that happens in the third act?
I think, I'm being just brutally honest here. Like, the film's pacing is very fast, in my opinion. I felt like we were breezing through to the point where I didn't even notice that we were like at the end. And I think in a good way. I think the scene when Kevin Bacon's chasing her through like Warner Brothers studio, I think that scene was a little too long, maybe. I feel like just the kind of the setup to that scene, the action of that scene, and the resolution of that scene, which was very much like the middle act of that film. That was probably the one scene that I would probably tweak in terms of story structure and pacing. However, the film breezes through. And it's not a long film. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. And you breeze through the film. And by the end of it, I was like, damn, I wanted more. In a good way. Not like, I can't come up with a film on top of my head that we recently reviewed, but a lot of the times I feel like when we're disappointed with a film, or when I'm disappointed with a film, I always come on here and I say, like, I wish I wanted more from these characters. I wish I wanted more from this. I wish I wanted more from that. But no, I wanted more in terms of, like,
I want another one. I want Maxine 2, yeah. Maxine 3, Maxine 4. I want to eat this. Like, keep on eating it. It's like, that's how I felt with No Way Home, too. Like, Spider-Man. It's a very broad comparison. Hmm. But No Way Home was just, like, so, just the perfect amount that it was, like, I'm not.
It left you wanting more.
Wanting yeah. more, yeah. And not in a way of, like, ooh, I'm hungry. No, like, I'm felt. And I need, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have room.
I got you.
Yeah. Got yeah. You. Sorry. That was really random.
No. But again, I think it's very indicative of how we all sort of felt about the movie, though. It's yeah. definitely, it is the one that I think is probably getting the most mixed reaction from everybody. I'm just checking the scores because I'm curious. So on IMDb right now, it has a 6.9 in comparison to X,
which has a 6.5.
Which has a 6.5. Okay. Yeah. So that's actually the lowest, and then Pearl has a 7. So this would be the middle ground. I am curious too, just for Rotten Tomatoes, even though that's not the real like aggregator. Yeah. Also, I've been talking. Yeah, I just realized.
Yeah,
that's okay. So let's see. Are you checking out one, Vinny?
Yeah, I already checked actually before okay. this. Rotten Tomatoes on Maxine is the lowest on both a critic and audience score.
Okay, interesting. So this is definitely the one where the takeaway for most people has been that it hasn't been as satisfying as maybe the first two films in the mm-hmm. trilogy. I don't know how much more I have to say about it because mm-hmm. I mean you've at least touched upon all the big sequences in the film in terms of the blood and the gore. I think that the scene in which Kevin Bacon's death scene is really well done, and it's really funny, and it's the perfect mm-hmm. mixture of what those other two films embody. Moses Sumney's is well done. I wasn't crazy about his character in general. I know he's like a music artist turned actor, and I didn't think he was very good in the little bit I saw him in The Idol, so maybe just acting isn't his thing. And I love Mia Goth in, so far I've seen her in all three of these films as well as Infinity Pool, which I think is an okay movie, but I think she's fantastic in it. So I'm really curious to see what she does next, and I love that Ty West took a chance on this lesser known actress to sort of bear the brunt of a trilogy of films with multiple characters. And I just wanted more. I wanted to see more of what Maxine represented, and especially like the repercussions of what were to come with what happened in the aftermath of X. I would have been more curious to see a little bit more of that. So I think restructuring of the film would have maybe given it a higher score for me. I haven't given a score yet, but that's kind of my wrap up thoughts. I don't know if Megan, you wanted to wrap up your thoughts, and then Vinny, you could wrap up yours, and then we can go to scores.
Sure. I didn't feel the runtime either. Like, I totally was like entertained and having fun the entire way through. I feel as if, yeah, like Maxine kind of just, like, I really liked X, like, that was probably my favorite personally. I also, like, I agree. I wish that I'd almost felt like more of the repercussions of those events in Maxine, because I didn't really, I feel like Maxine didn't even really feel that. Like, she had really nothing to do, kind of like what we're saying. Like, there was no real, it was alluding to the events that had happened, and she was being haunted by her past, but there wasn't, I don't know, it was kind of just missing, probably because each film was so different, and we're, like, being shown, like, these completely different vibes, these, like, takes on slightly different genres and different time periods, that maybe because, like, Maxine was trying to do so much that it was just kind of, like, it didn't know how to, like, live up to Pearl and then X, and then take everything from X, and then still have that, because I feel like you could have watched Maxine without seeing X, like, maybe just with some context, it would have just been like you it still would have made sense to you. I feel like, so I think that as a standalone film it works. It was really fun. I still loved like everything about it. I feel like there was certain character relationships that we didn't really get to see or feel all the way through, and like she had all these friends, and with Moses Sumney we didn't really, I didn't totally care about what was going on with him. I guess, like, I will say that his death scene and how like that was awesome, like the way that we like see the back of his neck just like sliced open. I was like, oh, like that was really really cool. And I think the like the use of practical effects throughout this film was so great too, and just like I really admire that, just all the blood and gore and how like that that's truly an ode to 80s slasher. Like that's like I thought I really really appreciated that. And then yeah, just the entire vibe of this film, I just had a ton of fun just being there. Listen, the soundtrack, I've been listening to the soundtrack since last night when I saw it, like all day long. I love it. Like I'm truly like, it's like the, like it's still sitting with me, like I'm still thinking about Maxine. I'm probably still gonna be thinking about it for a couple days. I've been thinking about X since I saw it. Like I'm like going to be like sitting with this trilogy for a while. Like I just know it. So even if, okay, maybe it's not perfect in every single storytelling element, I still think that it left a really big impression on me. And I think that people are going to be talking about this trilogy for a while because, I mean, we're already seeing it. Everyone has such opposing opinions on it. So I think that has a lot to say about how it's going to, you know, survive these next couple years and maybe what Ty West is going to end up doing later down the line. I think that it's really promising right now. I personally just really, really enjoyed watching all these films and talking about them, so I'm feeling pretty satisfied.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Valid. Yeah, for me, I have two closing thoughts. One, and two things I want to compliment about the film. So one, I'll start with the smaller thought. There is a scene of horror, and not really, you know, because I've praised the film for how fun and goofy it is and how crazy the kills are. And that's another thing too. I think this is easily the best kills in the trilogy. But a moment of genuine like suspense and horror that I adored, and something that I've written a scene very akin to is when we have the found footage of inside the mansion following the two women, one of them played Halsey. By Halsey.
Yeah.
And they're like tied up, and I just, from a horror point of view, I love that type of
imagery.
The aesthetic of it, how creepy and unnerving it is, of like having these men found footage on this like camcorder. I thought that was honestly that small scene might have been one of my favorite, and I think one of the best moments of horror in the entire trilogy. Second thing I want to say, I love how meta the film is, you know, because we're talking about, it is not only a commentary of the time, it is, because we're also like really diving into, you know, sociopolitical, like 1980s, of how in the 80s we had a lot of violence, a lot of serial killers about, and the culture of that time. We are also, it's not only a commentary of that, but it's commentary of and a tribute to, like I mentioned, to B-movies, 1980 B-movies. But they're making a B-movie in this, similar to in, I mean, X is a little different, but similar to, in the same vein of X, they are making a movie, and this is a B-movie, and we have Elizabeth Debicki's character, who plays a T.I. West, in a sense, how she's claiming to make a B-movie with A ideas. And I don't know, I found it very meta. I loved this kind of, you know, Maxine trying to break out as an actor. And I know Mia Goth wasn't an actor until fairly recently. I'm pretty sure she was a model before this. So it almost plays a meta role with everyone involved in the film and the film itself and the story it's trying to tell. Yeah, overall, I really enjoyed Maxine. It's kind of tough to say if I enjoyed Maxine or Pearl better out of the three. I think Pearl takes it just by a hair, but depending on my mood and depending on the day, I might think Maxine is a hair better as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had a lot of fun with this film. It was goofy and fun. And just, like I mentioned, it just reminded me of movies like They Live or Big Trouble in Little China and just that era. So
no, I mean, it's definitely a movie that I recommend seeing. I think we all at least recommend that people should check it out. I think it's a testament and a big shout out to A24 for constantly pushing the envelope and for this to be the first trilogy that A24 has ever sort of produced. I think is really cool and unique because all of the films are different in their own right while still having that obvious through line with what Ty West and Mia Goth are able to do with the trilogy of films between X, Pearl, and Maxine. The standout things for me, again, I think that despite Mia Goth's performance being good, I don't think that she's used as much as I would have hoped for. Giancarlo Esposito and Kevin Bacon, as I talked about, I thought were terrific in this film as well, and were definitely standouts. It's definitely a testament and commendable based on what West was able to do embodying that era, the 80s era, and what he was able to put in terms of the visual medium with the lighting and the cinematography and the practical effects, like Megan, you alluded to. But there were certain moments for me that didn't completely hit the exact same way that I think they hit you, Vinny. I thought that it became a bit anticlimactic towards the end of the film, and I wanted a little bit more from it. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad movie, but, and it's one that I might return to, especially I would love to do like how you did, Megan, like watch all three in succession now, like in a row. I'd be curious if I had maybe a different reaction after that sort of viewing experience. But to me, Pearl is still far the best one in my opinion. And this one falls a little bit under X for me, so I'm gonna go ahead and give Maxine a 6 out of 10. That's my final score. Megan, what about you?
I was thinking about this earlier today and I was really torn. I want to give it, I'm thinking a solid 7 personally. I would give Maxine,
okay,
yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Vinny?
Yeah, I'm not going to do like decimals or anything. I'm just going to do a solid number. I'm giving it an 8. Okay. 8 out of 10. If I were to do decimals, maybe like a 8.2. But yeah, it doesn't matter. It's so such a small increment of number scale. But yeah, this is an 8 for me. I just thought it was really fun. Great movie. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was a fun discussion. I just talking about it, and I love that we could have conflicting ideas and perspectives on the film. But I do recommend everybody go check out Maxine if you guys stuck around this long. If you guys did see the film, obviously let us know in the comments, what did you guys think? We have 3 different scores here on the desk, so let us know which one you side with a little bit more, what ideas you liked in the film, what ideas you might have hoped a little bit more for. And be sure to give this video a like if you can, and if you guys can subscribe to us. We are the Culture Wave Media Network, where we house a bunch of different podcasts and film and television. And we got a lot of other stuff on the docket for you guys. We're currently covering The Boys. We just did our review of The Bear. We have House of the Dragon. We have The Acolyte, plus a bunch of other films that are incoming and upcoming, including Deadpool and Wolverine, which is on the top of a lot of our lists. So be sure to check that out when that comes out. You can also follow us on social media. We are at Cinema Wave Media and at _CultureWaveMedia on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and just Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Darian Scalamoni.
And I'm Vinny Albano.
And I'm Megan Krantz.
And we'll see you guys next time.
This is The Culture.